Good evening. This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial from Bozeman, Montana. And this is the Meditation to Self-Realization Show. You're going to let me say that all by myself this time.
I am, because I'm wondering how clear it is when we say it together.
Well, I'm Jim.
And I'm Marianne. And today we have a special guest, and we're excited to introduce you to her. And before we get started, we're going to do our little pause.
You want to say who the guest is going to be?
No, I'm going to surprise them.
Ooh, keep them in suspense. All right.
So let's take this a couple moments, or, you know, at least 3 minutes to consciously breathe. And we'll take our nice slow inhale, slow and deep, and then a longer exhale. Let's make sure we're sitting tall with our spine straight. And of course, close your eyes if you're able to. And let's relax our jaw and our tongue. Relax your shoulders. And feel your chest rise with your inhale. Feel your chest fall on the exhale. And if your mind wanders, just slowly bring it back to your breath. And with a deep inhalation, feel your heart expand. Feel the breath filling your lungs and expanding your heart. And let's take one more deep breath. And let's smile as you exhale. And when you're ready, gently open your eyes. And join us here tonight in our meditation to self-realization. And today we have Ilka Dürr. Did I say it right?
Okay. Thanks for trying.
Yeah. And Ilka is a photographer and a writer, author, filmmaker, and director. And she's also, most importantly, a lover of all life.
Yes, I am.
And so we're so glad to have her with us tonight. We've known Ilka. In fact, she was writing her book called Wolves and Humans, A New Story of Coexistence. And so we're very glad to have you, Ilka.
Yeah, this is a special treat.
Yeah,
because all these other shows we always do is human connection.
Yes. So this is a little bit more expansive.
Yeah, this is more expansive. So get ready. Fasten your seatbelt.
Okay. And so what I wanted to ask you, Ilka, is we were talking last night, or maybe it was this morning, about meditation, since that's what we generally do here. And you had a real interesting perspective on meditation. So I'm wondering if you can share that with our audience tonight.
Yeah. I feel that meditation can't be confined to a certain time of the day and certain space. Also, although it's very, very beneficial to start the day in that state, but I would say we can be in a meditative state, in a connected state, wherever we are, whenever we we feel like it, or whenever we are connected to ourselves. And that's the most important part. It's not the time, space, and place. It's more like, are we connected to our inner being, ourself, our soul, or are we just a little disconnected human running around in circles?
And that is unfortunately a little too prevalent in our society.
Yeah. But it is interesting because I like the way you do that. Otherwise, we're scheduling in our meditation. Okay, I'm going to do it for 15 minutes, right? Usually I do it every day at this time and moment, you know.
Yes, and then there's a lot of pressure on that time. Mm-hmm. And then we are
and then
so
it becomes
pressured.
Part of the routine of your day instead of
constant. State of being.
I like that. That state of being.
Yeah. How do you feel like that? How did that develop in you, do you think?
I don't know. I feel like by contrast, what I saw around me and what I didn't really like about human life that's frantic and disconnected. And I always said, oh, there's a different way of doing this. And I did ask my dad one day, I said, what is the hardest thing about raising me? Or what was the hardest thing about raising me? And he's like, you just knew where you were going, and you just wanted to go into a different world. And you had this idea of how you wanted to live. And no matter how much we we showed you reality, you said, no, I want to create my own reality.
Well, so you were born with
For some reason, I could hold on to it. Yes. Yeah. I think that's true for most of us.
Oh, yeah.
But by first or second grade, it's usually gone, you know, in my experience, because life takes over and reality and beliefs and mass consciousness and what
and
should
human conditioning and programming from all the adults and
how you should be and who you should be and how you should operate in this world. Yeah. But for some reason, I was able to hang on to it.
So we end up having really very interesting conversations with Ilka, and especially since it's not only humans that and herself that she connects with, but with all life. And her documentaries are with animals, and even are the worms going to get a documentary?
Yes.
The worms
are going to get real interesting. We had the opportunity to view the film that you made on with wolves. And there was this overlay in the film of the wolf and the human behind the wolf, and they both immersed and together.
And mountains were in there. And
and
nature.
It felt like there was a whole oneness connection of everything.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, what inspired you to do it that way?
I felt like that was a really good image, you know, to not show separate humans and separate wolves, but all of us together, because we wouldn't be able to exist separately. We can only exist as a whole, because the same one life source, I call it, runs through all of us. And so I thought that would be a really nice image to show the wolf in the human in the wolf, because it's also certain traits that we humans have that we ascribe to the wolves, you know, the wild, the instinctual nature, you know. So in that way, I really like that. And I'm going to do a whole piece about that. You know, the gift of the human. My documentary about wolves is called The Gift of the Wolf. And, but we humans are also a gift. And I'm going to do a lot more overlays and interconnectedness symbols in that film, because it really touches us at a different level when we don't see all these separate images, but all of us together as it should be, as it is.
And so do you want to give our audience a little bit of a briefing of your connection with the wolves or the bison, or even? Or
Yes, I did. I've done several full-length documentaries and short films. I'm working on a series of short films now. I did one on the bison called Bison Nation, Walking Sacred Sites. Stories of Wolves is another full-length documentary. And now I did The Gift of the Wolf and I Am Water, I Give You Life. So it's not just the animals and plants. It's also the elements and the minerals. Yeah. And so for me, they all are a nation. I call them the wolf nation. I give them a personhood, or the bison are the bison nation. They are sentient beings in my experience, and they are also connected to their purpose and their purpose in life and their place in life, which is really awesome. They know who they are and why they are here. The wolves are here and they know that here to take out the old, sick and weak animals of a herd of deer and elk. And that's their purpose. And they know that. And that's what they're going after. They're not going after the healthy ones because they couldn't, for one day couldn't get them because they are too strong and fast. But that's their job and that's their contract in life, to keep the herds of deer and elk strong and running. And the deer and elk keep the wolves healthy and well fed. So there is this inner connectedness, and they both know, they all know what their place is. And I really, really love that. And ever since I was a little child, I've been able to communicate with all life forms. And I remember one day, my grandpa, I come from a tiny little organic farm. One day, my grandpa showed me all of our little plots of land and said, "This is the stony field," which is self explanatory.
Yeah, we've got one out our window here.
"This is the wheat field." And then he said, when we came to the forest edge, he said, "And this is called the wolf trap." And that's when I became really interested. I said, "Great, Grandpa, where are they?" And he said, "Oh, this is where our ancestors killed the last wolf, so you and I would be safe." But I remember that my heart just hurt and I had a stomach ache. And I said, "Well, why would they kill them all? Because now I will never meet them and they need to be here." So as a child, I innately knew that the wolves belonged there too, not just the dogs and the cattle. Mm-hmm. And so that's also a reflection of our binary culture: weed or vegetable, wolf. Yes. Or dog, you know, cattle or bison. And I'm all for and. Yes. Wolf and dog, cattle and bison, you know, weed and vegetable, because what we call weeds, they have their place too. And they're providing the vegetables with nutrients.
So, that's so true. They dig deep, their roots go much deeper and pull up the minerals.
Exactly.
For the plants.
So I'm all about and, not either or.
Sure.
And that's what I told my grandpa. And he was so distraught. He's like, "Oh my gosh." He's like, "Why would you want to bring him back when we worked so hard to exterminate them all? You know, what's wrong with you?" But I'm like, no, I innately knew that we all belong in the web of life. And now I'm getting back to the humans, because we are all very, very important too. There is another web of life and ecosystem among us humans. You know, we all belong in the web of life and we all belong here. But we humans also, in our individuality, have our place here. And we are all different. And we all need to be different for the web of life to work. And we all matter and we are all important, not just certain people or certain traits or whatever, but we all come here with a gift.
And we're all sacred.
Yes.
Just like all life.
And we matter.
And we matter.
And I want to tell you that, you know. Know that you matter on this planet. Don't think you are insignificant and become depressed because you don't have certain things that society tells you you need to have or accomplish or whatever. No, just by being here, you're fulfilling your purpose because you matter.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that because I've seen, like when you see a dead carcass along the road or something like that, an eagle comes usually first and starts nipping away, but the blackbirds are surrounding it and hopping around and looking for the eagle to get his thing done. And then they come in and finish things off. And then after they're done, all of a sudden you have the maggots and the, you know, whatever insects. And so it's all connected. So it doesn't matter whether you're a centipede or some insect or whatever, a maggot, you know, or a blackbird or a eagle or whatever, you're there for the purpose. And the first one that comes, you know,
right,
coyote and then eagle. And then
you can't take anybody out.
No, they all have the purpose. And then the bones are clean. And then the bones return to the earth. And there goes the calcium into the earth. And a great place to, that's where I should have grown that butternut squash.
So, Elke, you did have a story about the, was it the blackbird or the crow? And and how they work with
the wolves.
The wolves, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, to segue from your story, you know, when wolves make a kill, I've seen up to 16, 20 different other species of animals feed on the carcass.
Wow.
And actually, they feed the bears when they come out of hibernation. They often feed on the wolf kill. And without the wolf supplying food to them, they would have a hard time because often when they wake up, there's not enough food for them yet.
Yeah.
So they all work together. And they all help each other out. There's no like Lion King or or the eagle, the king of the birds or whatever. No, in nature, they all know that everybody is totally important and they don't have that hierarchy.
They honor one
they
another.
Honor one another that way. And they take care of each other. And to us, it looks like dog eats dog, but it isn't like that at all. That's from our perspective. That's how we live in that fear mode and in that separation and competition, but they're just doing their thing. You know, like I've eaten, now you can eat basically.
Right.
And because they wouldn't overeat, you know, and then they make another kill when
they're ready.
When they're ready, yeah. So they don't overkill or they don't take everything out, you know. So ravens have a really beautiful bond with the wolves. They have the overview because they can fly and they often know where the herds of deer and elk are. And they come down and I've seen them pester wolves, basically, wake up, there's deer, there's deer. See, because when, so then the wolves take off and make a kill and eat their fill, and then maybe the coyotes come and then the ravens come. And the carcass is opened up and it's ready for them to go and to eat their fill as well. Mm-hmm. So they have this beautiful relationship with each other. You know, the ravens tell the wolves where the prey animals are and the wolves feed raven in turn.
Yes. That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm going to throw in a human connection with this.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
Michael Campbell, one of our friends. So roadkill in Montana is legal now, where you can pick up roadkill and take it home with you if you want, if you feel like it's fresh enough, you know. And so every so often, he'll get a roadkill and bring it up into his canyon to feed to the blackbirds.
Or all the
birds, whatever's in his canyon. And he made these little pathways. He likes his canyon and he's got a little hikeway. It's beautiful up there. And he'll toss the roadkill around the property for the blackbirds to come in.
In order to keep the bird population.
And so I like that because all of a sudden there's the human connection.
Mm-hmm.
He's thinking about
nature
and the birds. And
And he does leave some for whoever.
Right, he doesn't take it all.
Yeah,
he just takes some to bring up top where he lives,
mm-hmm.
and leaves the rest down by the highway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we are responsible for those kills.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so, you know, and sometimes when a kill is too close to the highway, then the animals feeding on it are in jeopardy too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's always good to get it off of there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And move it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So.
Well, so the other thing that was really interesting was that Ilka was talking about her bison documentary, and the one that we saw had such history intact to it. So here in the Yellowstone area, there's such a controversy, and I like how you work with the with a different approach on the controversy that goes on between being activist and what do I want to say, the ones that are very
well, that was several years ago.
Well,
in Colorado Springs there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was definitely people there that
yeah.
really they were in fear of the shooting that goes on when the wolves leave every year when they leave the park down at Gardner, because they were worried
bison,
they were going to be shooting into their houses and mm-hmm. their land and stuff like that.
And, so I'm wondering if you wanted to talk about, do you know what I'm referring to? You're educating from a different perspective than the right and wrong of things.
Yeah, again, you know, I'm not into duality because, you know, the people who are doing it right, the people who are doing it wrong, the people who are on my side or not on my side. We are all people and we all have our fears and we all have our reasons for being who we are and acting, you know, out of fear or out of our previous experiences in life. And so to me, you know, it's really an approach of love and art, not so much activism,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being for or against, but more like I'm for all life.
Yes. supporting.
Yeah. Supporting
both sides.
Yeah. And supporting all life because I can see, I have compassion for where everybody's coming from. And if you really want to do this in a way that's lasting and sustainable, we need to work with each other and we are all one anyways, you know, like I said, the same one life source runs through all of us. So we are not that separate and we are not that, we just have different approaches to things maybe. And I have found that when I talk to people, you know, one-on-one, things are really different, you know, than in a group, for example, then things get riled up because often people want to do the right thing, but they have been taught a certain way or they have been taught like that cattle and dogs are more worth than wolves and bison, you know, and we ascribe a value, a consumptive value to each animal. So there are a lot of different opinions and ways of doing things coming together. But I feel like this is not really a problem. This is an enrichment, just like with the animals in the web of life, we need to do things different ways. If it's just one way, we will never go anywhere together.
Yeah.
You know, we need everybody's input and approach. And I have a feeling it's getting a lot better. Like
we're finding our way.
We are finding our way and with love and patience, but not with resistance and violence and you did this to me, now I do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really interesting. I have to tell you a story about that because I learned that from the wolves. Because when I first started with the wolf film, I was a little biased, you know, like towards, I have to admit that, here and there. So there was a wolf family where both the mother and father only had three legs. One was shot off and one was trapped off. So they had six legs between them instead of eight, but they managed to raise four puppies. But at some point they killed a couple cattle And so they wanted to move the wolves, not the cattle, which would have been so easy, you know, take the lead cow, you know, get her away from the den, and all the other cows would follow. But no, they wanted to trap the wolves, put them under with anesthesia and this and that, and move the wolves. So I got a little agitated that night. I was out there camped in their territory, in my tent, and I was like, oh, you know, like, again, trapping them, moving them, you know, why can't we do the easy way? So anyways, as I was grumbling a little bit there, you know, all of a sudden I heard the wolves howling outside my tent, and they were teaching their young ones how to howl. Wolves have to teach their young ones everything, how to be a wolf, how to hunt, how to howl. And so it was like, and I couldn't help it. My heart opened. I started laughing. I wasn't grumpy anymore, you know? And so I fell asleep smiling and listening to them. And that night I had a dream, and the wolves came to me, that wolf family with their three legs each. And they said, Elke, two legs, three legs, four legs, it doesn't matter. We just live and we'll keep on living. And we don't hold you responsible. We don't want revenge. Those are all human concepts. And that's how you are really ruining your life, with anger, with revenge, with you blame. You did this to me, and now I'm going to do that to you. They're like, no, we'll just keep on living, you know, and we can live with three legs, you know, and we will. And they said, and we are neutral. You know, there's no negative feelings towards you. And then they said, and we recommend that you do the same to make a better film that way.
Oh, that's so.
And then perfect. I woke up and I went outside, and there were all these wolf tracks around my tent, fresh from that night. So they were there.
And did they get moved?
Yeah.
They did get moved. Yeah. But they, and hopefully kept the family together so that the little ones learned and play at the wolf.
But what a message
you know,
to you, and how they came to you before they got moved and let you know that they didn't have any animosity.
Yes, exactly.
You know, they figured it might happen.
They're like, just calm down, you know, we got this covered. Because I thought I was going to do something for the wolves, and then they were doing something for me. Because I'm not the same person anymore, you know, that I was when I started.
Yeah. And I see that, because Ilka lived with us, where, you know, lived next door to us
6 years ago.
6 years ago. And when she was finishing her wolf story and doing the bison documentary. And so there is a very big difference, you know, in your approach, and your love has expanded.
Yes.
And what I want to say about Ilka is that she doesn't just do the documentary. She lives with close in proximity to these creatures, to our beloved wolves and bison, and gets to know them and communicates with them. And that's different from our human existence. You really do capture the coexistence.
Yes,
and live it.
And I don't bait them, or I don't go after them, you know, like a lot of photographers do, you know, or put up blinds, or, because that doesn't work, you know. After the person gets their glamour shot, then the wolf walks up to the next person, wants to get fed and get shot, you know.
Yeah.
So that's not right. That's still the disconnected way. But I always communicate who I am and what I want to do and why I'm there. And
they come to you.
And they come to me if they want to, you know, not because I'm going after them. And I do co-productions with them. So it's the wolf spirit, human spirit, great spirit, co-production.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's always with them, not about them.
Yeah.
But with them. And that is really so gratifying, you know, because they're not my subjects. They're my coexisters,
your friends and everything. It's really incredible, because it's like, so, you know, Elke talks to the animals and converses with them.
Yeah.
Marian talks with the plants and the trees.
And the animals.
Yeah. And I find myself today talking to the drivers in front of me, but without road rage. No road rage. Just letting them know that they could go.
So you've meditated enough now.
So it's rubbing off.
Yeah.
But you had a fantastic story this morning. I don't know if you want to kind of repeat it, because I like it because it was about the hazing of the buffaloes,
mm-hmm.
which I've seen. And yeah. you were all part of one of that. Remember that? You
yeah.
were telling us the story about that
mm-hmm.
and the connection between you and the people that were in the process of hazing them. And then you and the buffalo taking you.
Yeah.
You want to tell that story?
Yeah, it's so easy to always find the bad guys, you know. Mm-hmm. In this case, the hazers would be the bad guys, mm-hmm. you know. And I have to tell you that when the bison are leaving Yellowstone National Park in the spring to have their babies to go to their calving grounds, they get hazed back into the park. I don't know if your listeners know that on horseback with ATVs, sometimes helicopters, and it's a big production.
It is a big production.
Yeah, I saw it one time. Uh-huh. Got stuck in traffic for 2 hours.
Yes. So they're hazing these buffalo back into the park, and often they still have their umbilical cord. The little babies, you know, have their umbilical cord wrapped around them, and they're not even licked dry. And it's just really sad in my heart, you know, like, because if we left them a few more weeks, they would go back anyways. Because the park is basically underwater when the snow is melting. And so they're coming out here to have their babies. And so it would be easy to say, oh, those hazers, they are really the bad guys. But, you know, it's their job. And that's what they're doing. And I was documenting one of those hazes once. And I really stayed out. I went into that meditative state that we were talking about, to not judge anything. I was just observing. I was witnessing the beginning of the end of hazing, basically. And so, but I stayed out of the good and the bad. And at some point, the bison said to me, get out of that whole situation, go up a hill and watch from above, you know, because then you'll get a broader perspective. And that's what I did. I walked up and I was thinking, wow, why are they doing that to these little calves? You know, that's
how mothers.
They come into this world, and the mothers, but they were still so intact. The grandmothers were protecting the calving mothers and the calves. And, you know, and they were still intact. And they said to me, you know, don't worry about us, watch the humans. And it was really interesting because it dawned on me that we were hazing these newborns because we are doing that to ourselves as well. Women have to go back to work after a few weeks after having a baby, you know, not being able to nurse, just being driven on, being hazed back to work, basically, you know.
It's true.
And so I really saw that connection, you know, we are doing to the animals what we're doing to ourselves. Yeah. So who would be angry at that, you know, because the people also, you know, for income reasons or whatever, or to not rock the boat, they would do stuff that their heart wouldn't allow them to do, but they shut down the heart to be able to do this kind of work. Mm-hmm. And so it was really about the humans, almost more than about the animals. Yes,
yeah.
Because as long as we are doing that, as we are hazing ourselves, we will do that to all life.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be so great if we could just stop and really feel who we are and what we really want to do with this one precious life that we have right now.
And the precious life that we give.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a mother who did nurse, I know what the energy level is to not only feed myself, but to feed my child. Mm-hmm. And then when you extend yourself and go into the work world, you're taking on all that energy. And your milk gets, you know, tainted with the stress.
Mm-hmm, yes, and, stress, yeah.
And a lot of times women lose the ability to complete, you know, to nurse as long as they would like to because of mm-hmm. the stress mm-hmm. and the lack of time and having to pump mm-hmm. the milk out.
It's just in some closet somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the bathroom. I mean, yeah. there's not a whole lot of options yes. at a workplace.
Yes. And we need to say here that some women would like to go back, you know, and everybody should have the choice, but should not be hazed back.
Yeah. Right.
Should be able to go
choose
when they want to go back, you know, and some might choose earlier. It's not about that. It's yeah. more about it being dictated, mm-hmm. you know.
You it get being, 2 weeks or yeah. 4 weeks or yeah. even 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So again, it's about not being connected to oneself and not feeling one's own need,
yeah.
you know, and one's own integrity, you know, and what is needed, because we all know that intrinsically. You know, I read once that, like, it was the Bay of Pigs in Cuba, mm-hmm. the invasion. And when they asked all these generals, like, years later, they all said, oh, I had a bad feeling. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that. You know, like, oh, I knew this wasn't going to work. But nobody said anything.
Right.
You know, and nobody
Everybody
stepped up.
Followed the...
Yeah. Nobody followed their inner guidance.
Yeah. They just and followed the external.
That's really what we need to do. And I feel that from having been with wolves and humans, that there's so much hatred of us humans towards the wolves because they would never go against their grain. You know, they can be in a trap, you know, with our gun pointed at them and they're like not cowering. You know, they're still themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're still that intact being. And we just don't like that. We like to control others the way we control ourselves, mm-hmm. really. And it starts with ourselves. But once we get into that state of connection and
inner knowing, and,
yeah, inner knowing, listening, intuition, whatever you call it, listening to that still small voice and being in that state of connection as much as we can in a day. And when we fall out to get back in, that's really the beginning of it. Not any laws or regulations, you know, because they'll just be broken again
yeah.
when we don't feel.
Or rebelled against.
Yeah, or rebelled against. It starts with every single one of us inside of ourselves. When we don't haze ourselves anymore. And we don't go out against our own grain anymore. And then we are in like a perpetual state of like gratitude and love and connection. And then we couldn't do to another being, any being, what we can't do to ourselves anymore.
That's really interesting. Beautiful. It all comes back to obligation, feeling obligated that you must do what you were told to do, even though it's against what you really feel in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it doesn't help anybody doesn't if you do something anybody. From obligation rather than love, mm-hmm. it doesn't help the
it
other.
Doesn't help you pay and yeah. the other person
yeah.
pays,
or mm-hmm.
it just doesn't yes. work, it doesn't create
yes.
a doable,
it's not genuine,
right?
Yeah, so
because even in your story this morning that you told us, one of the hazers came up to you and
yeah,
and started talking, and
yes,
then, and then eventually said, well. What? I agree with what you're doing, even though
yeah.
This is my job.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because I was just being myself. I wasn't mm-hmm. judging anybody.
Yeah.
See, there was no fronts to me. I was like, I was one of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see myself in everybody. And so this person could sense that I was non-judgmental towards him. And then we had a totally honest, open connection and conversation. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you want to share with our audience what that sounded like or what that conversation was?
Yeah, he was telling me not please. He didn't know why he came and talked to me. You know,
he just came.
Yeah. This was a long time ago, so I'm not compromising anybody
yeah.
here. I feel free now to tell this story because a long time has passed.
Yeah.
And this particular person came to me, but didn't quite know why he came, but could feel something in me. I wasn't judging him. I wasn't opposing him. And that activated something in him. And he said, please don't obstruct the haze. And I said, oh, no, I won't. And I said, don't obstruct what I'm doing here. And he said, I know what you're doing here. You know, basically, you're holding the space for life, kind of, you know, in those terms.
Yeah.
And he could sense it, because then he could feel it himself through me.
Mm.
Because I opened that door,
yeah,
and we're all the same, and we can all feel
we
it.
I'm
not special, you know. People often, you know, when I first started working with the wolves, oh, wolf woman, I could never do what you're doing. And I'm like, oh, I have to get out of here. And I started the Web of Life Foundation because it's like, you know, we try to make something like Lion King, wolf woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We always defer our responsibility to somebody else or something else. And I'm like, no. We all have that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just showing you a potential. I'm not being a special being. I'm showing you a potential that we all have.
Yeah.
And you can show me a potential, you know,
yeah,
because it would be easy to go into the ego. Ooh, special mm-hmm. people, you
right,
know,
right.
And then we again with leaders and
mm-hmm.
and then we get into the whole convoluted,
yeah,
you know,
idolizing,
like,
yeah, oh, that's my hero.
Right, exactly.
I was 3 years old.
And I'm going to give him my power. I'm going to
yeah.
throw myself in front right. of this person because I could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could, but you shouldn't, because you should only do what you
came here to do,
not mm-hmm. what I am doing. Of mm-hmm. course, you couldn't do what I'm doing. I couldn't do what you're doing, because we have different, you know, we're different pieces of the ecosystem.
Yes.
So,
and that's the beauty of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really the gift.
So, and that's the only impact we can have by truly being in our center and being connected. We can then emanate a potential
mm-hmm.
yes.
to others. And that's the only thing we can do, but without yeah. an agenda, not wanting to change anybody. Because as soon as we have an agenda, it doesn't work. It's convoluted again.
That's right. Really interesting, because, you know, in a lot of talks that I've listened to recently, it's like, find your purpose in life. Well, then you're always chasing, what's my purpose in
yeah,
life?
Yeah.
And I think, oh, this is my purpose. It's so important that I do this.
Yeah.
Well, there's the agenda.
It's not doing.
It's not doing.
No,
it's being.
Yeah, it's being. Yeah.
Just being.
To me, it's being connected and communicating with all life.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's our birthright, but it's not, it doesn't mean that we all need to do this, you
yeah.
know? Like, I'm just doing it because it's coming out of every pore of me. You know, I could not do it.
Right.
You know, one person once asked me, why are you doing this? I'm like, I cannot not do it.
So,
but it's not really about doing. It's about the being state first.
Right. Yeah.
And then inspired action comes from that.
Yeah. So it's a creative process
right.
that
and,
you're involved with personally.
Yeah.
And we all have a creative process.
Right.
So that's what we need to find, is our creative process
yeah.
that we love to do or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it's not any particular purpose.
Yeah,
you know,
no, it isn't.
No, it's just it's
for me.
Just,
it's not bringing back the wolves, or
right?
Whatever.
Exactly,
it's not. You
no,
know,
it's connecting with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, connecting with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, giving them hope,
mm-hmm.
and
basically
being open and receptive, because obviously it changes you every day to have these connections.
That's
they,
true.
They.
Mm-hmm. It's following
they
an
give
impulse.
You so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of life
mm-hmm.
is just waiting for us to listen and
yeah.
be receptive and connect.
Yes.
Which is really interesting, because so in our garden here, I always pride myself on being the guy that does all the grunt work with the dirt. You know, I make the dirt.
Yeah.
Well, it's so refreshing when I dig in.
Yeah.
And I don't like wearing gloves and stuff. Because
yeah.
when I'm putting something into the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at this. Look at all the worms and the centipedes
yeah.
and the those little water bugs or whatever they're called.
Oh,
yeah. Jesus. And I'm looking at that. Holy cow. Look at that. They showed up. You know?
They
so,
came
yeah.
to say hi.
Yeah. And so I'm
yeah.
always thanking them for like, hey, thanks for coming
yes.
here. You know, all right. You guys, you know, keep reproducing, you worms. You look at that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's exciting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And doing such a little task.
Yes.
In the garden.
And that's a great segue into a story that happened to me yesterday morning. I walked up a trail and it had rained in the park
mm-hmm.
and there were all these worms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy to see them. They were coming out of every crack. And I went up, and when I went down the trail, about 10 more other people had gone up, you know, because I was the first one. There was nobody else yet. It was so early. And then on the way back, 10 other people had walked up, and I had met them. But they had stepped on the worms, and there were so many dead worms, or still smashed. Wiggling, or smashed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yet these people were talking about wanting to see a bear, wanting to see an eagle, wanting to see a wolf, but they couldn't see the worms, you know, and they were stepping on them. Mm-hmm. You know, they were kind of like a stepping stone to the wolf, or to the bear. Mm-hmm. Yet in the web of life and in the connected life, the worm is as important as the bee, as there the wolf, as the bear, as the Lion King. You know?
As you and all of our listeners.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm doing a little piece now. I was filming it all, and I was relocating all of them, you know, smashed or not, you know. Mm. And it's going to be called Look Up and Down. You know,
watch out for the worms.
Yeah, exactly, because they're just as important. Oh, you know, true. But we're so repulsed. You know, oh, there's a bee. Oh, there's a worm. You know, oh, there's a wolf. You know, but what is the difference? There really is no difference.
Sure.
When you live in the web of life, there is no difference. You know, and they say, oh, the wolf is a keystone predator. And when the wolf comes back, all the other animals come back. But look at a bee or a pollinator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they're gone, there's no food. There's no wolf. There's no grazing of elk, and there's no wolf food. And you know what I'm saying? Like, so every species is a keystone species.
And the worms contribute by their whole livelihood, their process of, we get worm tea, we get worm, what is the excretion that we get?
That's called casings.
The worm casings, and they feed the soil.
And they make the soil really
aerated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and even that, significant.
You know, like, that's a good way to explain significance to people. But ultimately, it's another consumptive way. Oh, they're important because they aerate. And I'm saying, they're important because they're here.
They're here. Yes.
Whatever.
And you're important because you're here.
Yeah.
And I'm important.
Thank you for making that distinction.
And you, Jim, are important because you're here.
Ooh, I like you.
That's all that matters. Yes. Mm-hmm. We don't need to find 100,000 reasons like, oh, accomplish this, did that. You know, in the end, it does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the quality of our heart and of that we put behind any kind of action. And if it is fueled, but what is it fueled by? The ego
or
the love of life?
That's beautiful.
That's a thought. Very, very because that's what we're, our conditioning is.
Sure.
For the accomplishment, for the
economy.
Whatever.
I wrestle with that all the time. You know, like, okay.
No,
you know,
I'm
and
telling
I can really
you.
Tell, you know. When I'm doing something in that real ego state, if I'm not, I don't even remember. What did I just do?
And for me, it doesn't even work anymore. it's just like hitting a brick wall because I know better.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm doing it against every fiber of my being. Right. I'm trying to accomplish something.
Right.
Or I'm trying to, you know, I have an agenda.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I might as well run into a wall right away.
Because by the
it
end
never
of the
goes
day,
anywhere.
When I go through a day like that, I am just totally beat.
Yeah.
You know, it does feel like I ran into a wall.
And that's the disconnection from your inner being again.
Yep, wow, I did all that today. And I'm like,
yeah.
You know?
I know.
So it's just kind of flowing through life.
Yeah. My Germanic family was like that. So what did you do today? You know, what did you do? Who did the most?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then I looked at what everybody did, and it was insignificant. Really, it was just like toil, you know, toiling and suffering. You know,
and that's really key to note that.
And in nature, they don't toil and suffer. They enjoy life. And I think you, Jim, told me that. You know, you said last 6 years ago, you said something like, the animals, they just take care of themselves. And that's what I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all, it is. It's just in the Bible. I remember this morning we were talking, and I was mentioning about, I was reading it. I can't remember what book. It might have been Seven Arrows or something. But how the Native Americans, they don't put themselves above nature and mm-hmm. the animals.
Yeah.
They put themselves below.
Yeah.
For a weird expression, the last in the man on the totem pole, yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. And then they observe and witness and everything what nature's doing, what the animals are eating. Okay, that did, you know, the deer ate that and they're not dead. Let's check it out, you know?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. all of a sudden they're in the
yeah.
mode of, and then they watch the animals.
Humans,
the
yeah.
Animals, yeah, mm-hmm. and the animals move over here. Mm-hmm. So they
and then they stay
destroy this field
yeah.
over there. And so they could become nomadic like that.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful.
Yeah, the wolves, mm-hmm. you know, in the early people's perception of them, mm-hmm. they taught us how to hunt and raise a family
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hunt together, raise a family together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is so beautiful. It's so beautiful when we can really learn from and or with.
Yeah, with.
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 Which is interesting because I get a lot of books on and community, you know, community living and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. And it's so geared towards getting along with each other. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be, you know, you must do this job.
And how to resolve conflict.
How to resolve conflict and who's going to, you know, how are we going to run the organization.
Yeah.
And so there's so much energy there. I think that's why people get burnt out and all mm-hmm. of a sudden you don't have community.
Yeah, because you do it. You put the horse before the cart.
Right.
You try to solve things that haven't even happened yet. And I once read that somewhere, you know, like in a community, there were all these people and there were all these things to do. And everybody naturally gravitated towards what they liked to do without anybody telling them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, everything got done without any delegation.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how we like the Woofer program to do. I mean, if they ask, we'll make a list for what projects yeah. need to be done and what priorities.
And we'll put the list down and here's pick and choose.
Mm-hmm. And then there becomes a flow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when there's a flow, mm-hmm. then things happen effortlessly.
Yeah.
And everyone can be present with what they yeah. enjoy.
And there's no hierarchy,
right.
you know, because we have this hierarchy or the cleaning lady and the CEO,
yeah,
you know, exactly. like, and then, you know, and then we value, we undervalue certain jobs and mm-hmm. we overvalue mm-hmm. others. And so then we
and
get
we look for a title.
Then we have Wolf Woman. And then we have
there's the title that you dispersed the right away.
So anyways, yeah, but it's more like the flow. And in the flow, when we are connected and we have an impulse. And when I get an impulse like that, like when I got the impulse to make a wolf film, it came out of my mouth. You know, I'm like, I'm going to make a wolf film now. And I was surprising myself and everybody else. They were like, what? You know, like, but it was an impulse I had felt for a long time. And then it became verbal.
And then it became a reality.
And then it became a reality. Yes. But it wasn't like, oh, I have this job to do for this broadcasting.
Yeah. Or the magazine.
Yeah. And I have to do it the way they want me to do mm-hmm. it, you know? So no, it just came
yeah.
through me and I was a vessel
mm-hmm.
and that's the most beautiful, so, you know, so it's not about me. It's not about accomplishment. It's more like it all came together
yeah.
and we did it together.
Effortlessly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You were gifted with the abilities to be the writer, the producer,
yeah.
the director,
yeah,
and the lover of doing it,
yes,
of being part of it.
Yes, I remember one day, like, it was so beautiful. I was teaching at that time, so I had to do it at night, you mm-hmm. know, and so I had all the doors and windows open because it was so hot. And I said, oh, I love this. I could do this for the rest of my life. But I said, oh, that's an agenda. Okay, I love this right now in this moment. And as I said that, you know, I was close to the river. This totally wet dog runs into my house, slobbers all over me, like makes me totally wet, licks my face and disappears.
Hmm.
So he was the
joy and love.
Yes. Yes.
And received
yeah. And then one day this little hummingbird flew in and fluttered around and fluttered back out. And it was just, there was so much love. They all came in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And confirmed.
Yeah. And one day in the middle of the night, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm working too long because the floor is moving. But it was these snails that moved in. So I had all these animals and spiders, and it was almost like all this support, you know, like I need to go to bed. The floor is moving, but it was, but it was just so cool. Yeah, when it flows, it flows, and I didn't need so much sleep, and there was so much joy, you know. And I made it. I made the film, so there were no bad guys.
Yeah,
and I'm making all my films like that. Yeah. You know, it's just the web of life, and everybody does what they're doing.
How can people connect you? The website or anything?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have two websites actually. I'm the founder of the Web of Life Foundation, and that's so funny because the acronym is WOLF, Web of Life Foundation.
Oh, there
so
you
find me under my work under Web of Life Foundation.net.
Okay.
Web and net. Web of Life Foundation.net. And then I also do inner species communication sessions with people and their pets sometimes, and also with lots of wild animals. I really specialize in wild animals and people and their land and who's there and how they can coexist. Because often they want a piece of land because it's so beautiful, but then they put a house on the calving grounds and the elk are gone, you know, because they don't know. And it's a lose situation, right? So I can help people see where it's the best place to put their houses, you know, so that the animals are still there and who's there on their land and how to coexist with that bear. With that mountain lion, you know, and if so they're willing. But again, some people are not willing.
Well, it's just I remember when you were there, what, 6-7 years ago?
Yeah.
And so I don't know, Jim, if I could ever live there because you got this fence around the garden. You know, you're keeping the deer out of the garden. So, well, yeah, I don't want them to eat everything. So there's a fence that's still up. And I know my guess is if we started planting some
hedges
or what's that one thing that
we
Robert,
have hedges coming
what's
around.
What's the thing that's like a pea?
Oh, vetch.
Vetch around the fence, you know, around the outside and just create something all around.
Yeah. And create food sources for them. That's how I garden. Mm-hmm. You can have 10%, you know, like to all the pre-existing inhabitants of the garden, you know, that were there before the garden.
Right.
I give them so and so much and I plant for them so they can eat too. And then usually they almost never take anything because they're so grateful, you know, like that they're being acknowledged and they find their own, you know, so... Well. Yeah, so build something that, plant something that it can eat, you know, and you'll be fine and establish a relationship with the animals, plants, minerals, and spirits of the land where you live, and you'll have this amazing connected life, and you don't have to be afraid.
And don't have to protect.
Mind. Yeah, I call it fearless, empty, and loving.
That's a great way to end the show. Fearless, empty, and loving.
Yes.
And did you give the other website?
And my other website is my name, E-L-K-E, like elk with an E. Mm-hmm. This is my first name. Last name, D-U-E-R-R.com. That's the communication website.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah. So if someone wanted to contact you and talk to you.
.com. And... Yeah. Great. Send me an email. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sweet. And we'll talk.
Fantastic.
And if I can come to your land, or we can do it over the phone too, because I can see it. It doesn't really matter where I'm at. You know, it's the same in person or over the phone because the connection is there. I have it now all the time.
Sweet. And you gave Matt, our wolfie this morning, you gave him some information about his dog, Ralph. Ralph was ill.
When he was ill,
So we and Ralph wasn't even in the room.
I'm not a veterinarian, but I can tell what's going on. I can't diagnose. I can't say, oh, he has the blah, 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 itis. No, but it's more like, well,
communication.
It's something that he needs to purge, or, you know, it's something that he ate, or
it's basic.
He needs some, he needs some rest now or whatever. So I don't do too many medical things, but often animals take on humans' sentiments or emotions, and we can talk about that. You know?
Yeah,
so beautiful. Well, I think it's time to sing.
Oh, yeah, we do have a closing song. Mm-hmm. So we will sing to our listeners and to you. Okay.
Hope you enjoyed the show. It was beautiful. I've had fun.
Yeah,
me too. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
It's been a treat.
Yep, yeah. Likewise.
All righty.
May the long time sun shine upon you.
Too high?
I am way high. All right, let's try it again. So we're singing, may the long time sun shine upon you.
Yeah.
All love surround you.
Yeah.
And the pure light within you.
Yeah.
Guide your way up.
In case you want to.
Yeah, I know that song. I've sang it before.
Oh, okay.
Long time.
All right, okay, here we go.
This is the melody. I'll try again. May the long time sun shine upon you. All love surround you. And the pure light within you. Guide your way up. Guide your way on. Guide your way on.